You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary's Parish on Chicago's Evanston, middle of Evanston area, about four blocks west of downtown. And
getting acquainted with the area, aren't you, Greg?
After having spent 18 wonderful years at St. Mary the Woods in Edgebrook, now to say St. Mary's in Evanston, which is a wonderful community. I've been warmly welcomed and greeted by the people. It's a great faith community, but it just takes some getting used to. In fact, my brother Adrian said, take all my St. Mary of the Woods jerseys, delete of the Woods, and I have St. Mary.
And you're all set.
And save a few dollars. And co-hosting with us is Graziano Marcheschi, the Director of Lay Ministry Formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Good morning, Graz.
How you doing, Greg?
Great. How are you doing today?
I'm all right, and I'm enjoying the summer, even though I hate the heat.
Well, it is mid-July, so there's no surprise, but what I was saying to my mother is how quickly the summer is flying by. It's already now literally mid-July.
Mid-July.
And, you know, it's
carpe
half
diem.
About, yeah, it seize the moment. And we have a wonderful program lined up. Our phone number here is 312-255-8408. 312-255-8408. Feel free to call with questions or comments, because our program today will feature Father Scott Donahue, President and CEO of Mercy Home for Boys and Girls. Also in studio will be with us now is Tom Gallardi, Vice President of Youth Programs for Mercy Home. Our program will deal with Mercy Home and its mission. Also will take a specific look at youth violence and what can be done to keep our kids safe. But one of the outstanding priests of the Archdiocese of Chicago, Father Scott Donahue, ordained 1982, so 3 years behind me. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning, Graz. It's great being with you this morning.
Welcome. And Tom Gallardi, who's been with Mercy Home for 15 years, has also been involved with the Mercy Home TV Mass, present and past years. So good morning, Tom, to you.
Good morning, Father Greg.
You know, I'm struck as I look at Tom, committed layman, given 15 years of his life, raising a family, has two kids, you know, could be doing something else. He's given his life to serve the church and to serve the young people of Mercy Home. It's a great thing.
That's well said, Graz.
Thanks, Graz.
We're delighted to have Tom with us at Mercy Home. He's terrific.
And Tom, I know you've been very dedicated with the young people of Mercy Home. And, you know, Graz, you're right. I think sometimes we forget many, many men and women serving the church. They could be doing other things, but, you know, giving their life. In fact, maybe later in the program, would want to ask you, Tom, why are you doing what you're doing, which you'd be probably earning bigger money somewhere else?
Don't tell them that.
How long does this program go?
Wait a minute.
I'm out of here.
Father
Wait
Scott
a minute.
Blanche White all of a sudden.
Tell me more, Greg. Tell me more about that.
That is great. And Scott thought this was a big secret.
That's right.
The salary. You know, Scott, Mercy Home for Boys and Girls has been a landmark in the Chicagoland area and beyond for years. Maybe give a brief overview on the history of Mercy Home for Boys and Girls, its first year beginning, and just kind of go through the transitions.
Oh, I'd be happy to. And what you say, Greg, is absolutely right. It is a landmark in Chicago, and it's been a wonderful ministry in Chicago for 123 years, taking care of kids who come to us in crisis, homeless kids, kids from broken families. You know, we have to go back all the way to 1887 when the home was founded, and it was actually founded by two Irish priests who came from Boston. Wow. And they came to the city, and as you know, at that time in the city, it was a railroad hub. And kids were jumping on railroad cars, and they were coming to the city to find their fame and fortune, and they found themselves out on the street, destitute. These priests recognized the need for a home for homeless boys. They went to the bishop of the diocese. The bishop says, you can found the home, but we can't financially support it. At that time, Chicago had a number of ethnic orphanages. But they said, if you can do the funding, you can build this home, which they did. And so that was our earliest beginnings, as Father Mahoney and Father Campbell from Boston founded the home. And it was really a place that offered kids on the street safety, shelter, a trade, and an opportunity to establish some self-esteem in their lives and then to move on in their lives. And so that's what the home has been doing in a number of forms for the last 123 years.
Scott, I had no idea it had that long of a history.
Mm-hmm. Scott, when it began in 1887, was it at its present location on Jackson?
Interesting enough, our earliest history started in the very basement of Old St. Patrick's Church.
Wow.
That's where the kids were first sheltered. And within a year's time, they moved on to 1140 West Jackson Boulevard. So that neighborhood has changed dramatically, as we all know. But initially, it was at Old St. Pat's Church, and now we've been at that location on Jackson for 121 years.
The amazing part is I didn't realize that the history was two Irish priests saw, you know, young boys on the street coming to Chicago via the railroad, which was big in those days. I mean, just
sure.
And Chicago was a main hub. And all of a sudden finding their fame and glory, and they're on the street with nowhere to go. Yeah. So the Catholic Church responding to a real need, not only perceived, but reality. And we all know that Chicago winters can be brutal, and to be homeless is unbelievable.
And interesting in the home's early history, so it was, you know, the shelter and the safety and the food and the clothing, all those necessities. But they taught them different trades. So at one time, they were making candles and shipping them all over the country. They were repairing shoes that were sent in from all over the country. They would repair the shoes and send them back. They were on the street corners selling newspapers. So they did all sorts of trades. We have a printing company that still is in operation today. Right. But they learned the printing trade as well. So they learned a trade. They learned to be able to care for themselves. And they became productive citizens. And isn't that the ultimate goal for all young people?
Wow.
So what kind of young people are you helping today? They're probably not coming off of trains anymore.
They're not. And currently, let me just give you a little bit of what the programming looks at Mercy Home, and I'm going to have Tom talk about the kids who come to us. So we've been around, as I say, for 123 years, and most people know us for our residential care. So currently we have 135 teenagers living at Mercy Home for Boys and Girls. 100 on our boys' campus on Jackson Boulevard, and 35 young ladies living on Longwood Drive in the Beverly community. So we have two homes. The girls' home was founded actually about 23 years ago. Cardinal Bernardine, when he came to celebrate our centennial, said, you know, you've done a terrific ministry, a terrific job caring for kids in need, but it's always been boys, and now you need to take care of girls. So we took that challenge, and we were able to get the old Senecal Retreat House on Longwood Drive, and that has been our home for girls for the last 23 years. So that's residential care, and Tom's going to talk about that. We also have, at the front end, we have a Big Brothers Big Sisters program that a lot of people don't know about. It's called Friends First. We're out in the community. We're working with kids at risk in the community. We're working with their families. And currently we have 80 trained mentors working with these young people and their families in the community.
Well, we're going to go to a short break right now. And when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation and give you a lot more information about the wonderful work at Mercy Boys Home. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Catholic Charities' 13th Annual Golf Invitational will be held this year on July 28th at Cog Hill in Lamont, Illinois. This year, more than 500 golfers will have the opportunity to play on all four courses. Contest holes will be spread throughout the day to challenge players, including a contest to outdrive Sister Marianne Dosen, a nun with a great swing, and chances to meet celebrities including former Blackhawks legend Stan Mikita. This year, more than ever, families are turning to Catholic Charities in their time of need. Your participation can help a family prevent homelessness after losing a job or feed their family if they're having trouble making ends meet. All proceeds go to benefit Catholic Charities Family Services programs. Book your foursome today by calling 312-948-9948. 312-948-6797. That's 312-948-6797. For more information, visit www.catholiccharities.net/golf. That's www.catholiccharities.net/golf.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. The time is exactly 9:11 in the morning on this hot Friday morning in Chicago. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Rosita Markeski, and our guests are Father Scott Donahue, President and CEO of Mercy Home for Boys and Girls, and also with us is Tom Gallardi, Vice President of Youth Programs for Mercy Home. Our phone number, 312-255-8408, 255-8408. And call with questions or comments. We have a tremendous hour lined up, not only on the history of Mercy Home for Boys and Girls, but on the last segment, Father Scott talked about the preventative and the residential components of Mercy Home for Boys and Girls. And Tom Gallardi, give us the third piece of Mercy Home for Boys and Girls.
Third piece is called aftercare. It's a critical piece of what we do at Mercy Home. From an ethical and a moral perspective, as well as a financial perspective, it's really important that we see this investment through with these kids. And so once our kids leave the home, they go to the service, they go to college, they go back home, wherever they go next, we make sure that we provide a safety net for them, a linkage to the home, so that as they walk through life into adulthood, they know they always have a place to call home, in a sense. And so we provide financial assistance, educational assistance, just support. So no matter what, no matter where they go, they know that they have a link to Mercy Home. We have 150 active members right now. We have almost 30 kids in college that are linked to Mercy Home. It's a great program, and we feel like just from a financial perspective that if we're going to invest and the donors are going to invest in these kids, we want to see that investment through. We want to see these kids make it to adulthood, be active, participatory members of society, you know, pay their taxes, hold down jobs. It's really important.
Yep. You know, I was struck earlier, Scott, when you talked about how you taught the kids the trades in the early years, you know. Mm-hmm. Are you still teaching them those kinds of life skills? I know I have a couple of young adult kids who keep saying, you know, education's a waste of time. Of course, they don't really believe that. I'm an educator by trade. But what they mean is they didn't learn the things that they needed to learn, like how do you pay taxes? You know, how do you open a checking account?
That's a great question.
Do your kids learn those things?
We do. We have a twofold process. One is we do a lot of career training. So it starts with really getting kids interested and exposed to career. And then we do a lot of work. They work at the home. So they work in the kitchen. They work around the grounds. And all of that leads up to internships and then really career-focused opportunities.
Part of our programming at the home, so education is a key component. We have our kids in 52 different schools because we want all of them in proper placements. And that's a part of our academy. It's one of our departments. But a part of the academy is teaching kids job skills and preparing them for lifelong careers. So this summer, we have 30 internships going on in the city. Our kids are working in accounting firms. They're working in banks. They're working with lawyers. They're working with judges. They're working in architectural firms just to be out and to be exposed to what goes on in this large world of ours, particularly in the city of Chicago. In addition, they're working summer jobs. They're working around the home, as Tom said. They're learning gardening. We have wraparound programs after school when the kids get home. We have 30 different alternative classes that we teach in the evening, one of them being financial literacy. So the kids come in, we have bankers coming in teaching them how to open a bank account, how to start a checking account, what it means to get interest on your money. And that's just one of 30 different programs that we offer after school for our kids.
I find it, what's so fascinating is I always knew about Mercy Home for Boys and Girls, the preventative dimension, the residential dimension. Because when we do Mercy Home for Boys and Girls at TV Mass, we have some of the young men who are residents there who are outstanding altar boys in this situation. And, you know, I'll sometimes talk with them. They love Mercy Home for Boys and Girls. But isn't it funny? I never knew until Tom just spoke now regarding the aftercare component, because I just thought of it. When they get to a certain age and they leave Mercy Home, it's like, okay, what happens? So I think, you know, Tom, has that always been a part of Mercy Home, that aftercare preventative dimension, if you want to call it, in terms of you follow through with these young people through college and even later on, and that takes time and money to even continue with that.
Right. I think there actually was a shift. In the early days, when Father talked about the history earlier, the philosophy was really, come in, we'll help you get on your feet again, develop some skills, and then move on and don't ever look back. What's changed in the last 20 years, really, is this philosophy that you're always part of this family, that you always have a home here at Mercy, and that whether it's tangible or spiritual, we are always going to be there for you. And so we've really developed this link with these kids. We have hundreds and hundreds of former kids that we're in contact with. And some kids just come back. You know what? They want to bring their kids back and see the home. Other kids need more substantial help, or young adults, and so we provide that. It's really important that they know that they can always come back to Mercy for support.
Yeah. So we don't create dependencies. I mean, we want these kids to be self-actualized, as Tom is saying. But I look at you, Gratz, and you talk about your teenagers, you know. We're family. We are the family that these kids know. And so we'll always be family to them. And the nice thing about family is some of these kids who have graduated from high school, many have gone on to graduate school. They come back and they tutor our young people. They get involved in our alumni association. They get involved in our junior board. It's a wonderful synergy that is created by in and through this aftercare program. And Tom's being very humble, because this aftercare program really took off under Tom's leadership when he came to the home 15 years ago and has developed it.
Well, it seems like an obviously brilliant concept, because not only are you giving the alumni a sense of connection, but you're also giving the current kids a vision of their own future.
Correct.
I could be one of those people
Absolutely.
Someday.
Absolutely.
Again. Right. And I think the key component, it's really relational. It's this sense of belonging, this sense of being a part of a larger community. And we'll talk later about that with the violence. That's a key component that Mercy provides, the relationship piece for kids.
We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community Faith and Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Gratz and Markeski, and our guests are Father Scott Donahue and Tom Gallardi. We're talking about Mercy Home for Boys and Girls, its history, the preventative dimension, residential, aftercare. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. Stay with us. We'll be back after a break, and do not touch that dial.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake counties.
Traveling this summer? Then stay connected to your church while you travel by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
That's CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and if you haven't already, subscribe to the Catholic New World, or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
God bless you, and Christ's peace be with you. This is Mary Norfleet Johnson, Director of the Office for Black Catholics in the Archdiocese of Chicago. The Office for Black Catholics is a vital and integral part of the Catholic worship community here in Chicago. Our agency serves people of color, encompassing African American, Haitian, African, Afro-Latino, and Caribbean natives. Contact us and learn how to enhance your neighborhoods, your families, and your faith through various initiatives and events designed to strengthen your relationship with Jesus Christ. Our office is located in the Cardinal Meyer Center at 35th and Lake Park Avenue. Call us at 312-534-8376 or visit our ever-changing website at www.blackcatholicchicago.org. We look forward to serving you and your communities.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, co-hosting with the one and only Father Greg Sakowicz. And we're delighted that you've chosen to spend this hour of your morning with us. We're grateful for the opportunity to spread some of the good news of the great works going on within the Archdiocese of Chicago, one of which is Mercy Home for Boys and Girls. And we're very fortunate to have with us today Father Scott Donahue, the President and CEO, and Mr. Tom Gallardi, the Vice President of Mercy Home. Father Scott, we talked earlier about the history of the home and how some of the boys who were the first residents of the home came there. Give us a sense of the kind of boy and girl who comes to the home today. What kind of background are they from? What are the circumstances that bring them to the need, the place of need, having to come to a residential place like yours?
Graz, that's a great question. And it, circumstances obviously have changed over the last 123 years. We talk sometimes in a general form that they're the new orphans of society. And what it means is, most of the young people who come to the home, the young women and the young men, the age from sixth grade is the youngest that we take young people, and they stay with us, as Tom mentioned, right through their high school years and into their college years. But these are children, by and large, that come from broken families, dysfunctional families. I can give you two scenarios. I think it'd be really helpful. A young man is in a part of the city that is experiencing a lot of violence. Dad is usually out of the picture. Mom is doing the best that she can. Johnny is no longer going to school. He might be getting involved with gangs. He is suffering from depression. And mom or grandma sees that there's an issue. They can't help Johnny. They can support him in his life, but they don't have the skills to be able to give Johnny what he needs at this particular time. They come to Mercy Home, to our admissions department, and we begin the conversation.
Yeah. Let me jump in with a question that I would bet is in the minds of a lot of the listeners. So that's a concentration of a lot of trouble, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of pain, a mm-hmm. lot of years of struggle.
Yep.
So you bring all these kids together, and you just described during the break that it's a really happy place. It's a pleasant place. You invited me to come because you're proud of it. How are you able to deal with that deep concentration of trouble and still make it a place of grace, a place of hope, a place of healing?
Boy, those three words are wonderful words, Gratz, because it is hope and healing and grace. I think it's in and through our admissions process and when people come in. I think it's the respect that we show the young person and the family, whoever brings the child in. Initially, it's not easy. I mean, a young person coming to the home, what we have to do is establish a sense of trust. Once they realize that we're there simply for them, that's the only reason Mercy Home is there, is for them. And I work with the most competent coworkers, people who are really gospel people, people of compassion, but competent people. And with therapeutic services, with good educational opportunities, with fun, encouragement, spiritual support, we create the environment that you just described, Gratz.
Right. I mean, that's exactly what we do. I mean, and I think one of the key things, we focus on what's working. So we focus on strengths. So even in the worst situation, we honor these families and these children by learning their story. And through that, we help them to identify where there are strengths. And we start with that. what can we build on?
You know, it's very, very interesting that for both Scott and Tom, with Graz's wonderful questions, we're talking about at the root of these young men and women coming, there's a tremendous amount of violence for many of them from their neighborhood. You know, it's just the reality of some of these children where they come from. And along those lines, back in June of 2010, just last month, Cardinal Francis George wrote a letter to all the pastors in the Archdiocese for a letter to be put into every parish bulletin. Let me just read a snippet of it. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, gunshots and gang violence, rooted often in verbal and physical abuse at home, can scar children and youth. The sad reality of daily life is that our youth and their families often live under a veil of fear. Such an environment hinders the normal development of children, youth, and their families. I ask all Catholics to pray each day for our children, teens, their families, and all men and women who live daily with the threat of violence." Along those lines, we're now going to go to a four-minute piece from hosted by Graziano Marcheschi, the one and only, from the Church, the Cardinal, and you, a four-minute segment which deals directly on the topic of violence and youth in Chicago.
You released a letter that was sent to the parishes that addressed the egregious violence that's been afflicting many of our neighborhoods in Chicago.
Yeah.
Before we talk with you about that message, let's hear from a young man who spoke at a recent prayer service in our own St. James Chapel. His name is Dwayne Jones, born and raised in the Englewood neighborhood and now serving in the Army, and who is about to head to Afghanistan.
Today, seeing as how I'm in the military, it's just me taking a small step towards me attaining my future and attaining my dream. And being in the process of readying to deploy to Afghanistan, I want to say that I have no fear in my heart as I go overseas, partially because of the hardening of growing up in my neighborhood and partially because of my resolution to see and create a better future. I joined the military a little over a year ago, and the deaths of soldiers aren't hardly as sorrowful as the deaths from the shootings back here at home. Every day, so many lives are being lost over absolutely nothing. Most of the victims are not trained soldiers who make decisions to put their lives on the line to protect their homes, but instead, they're students who take the risk of losing their lives to gain an education and escape the terrors of the neighborhood for a better future. I got my first bit of working experience from a deacon at a church that owned an auto shop. The pay wasn't much, but from it, I learned to work for money and how to appreciate the things that I have. Through many experiences like this one, I began to understand the world, and it began to mature me as a young man. And it also makes it easier to stay out of trouble and to keep from hanging with the wrong crowds. So I live today trying to return the many favors that were done for me and to help someone else.
It's really good, Cardinal, to see a young man who clearly has overcome the challenges of his youth. Obviously, not everyone is so lucky. Mm-hmm. Tell us the essence of the message about violence that you sent.
Well, everybody's against violence, so that was an easy thing to say. But what I was saying was the church is a family. And so, therefore, what happens to one of us happens to all of us, and what happens in one neighborhood and one parish affects the other neighborhoods and the other parishes. And so all our parishes should be safe places, and that's what I ask them to see to it. And that means also places that can receive, especially young people who would use our athletic facilities, who would be available for certain programs we would have. The idea is to know that there are places outside of the neighborhoods where there's more violence. There'd be places in places that don't have quite so much violence, and that the Catholic Church is welcoming everybody who is living with any threat of violence. Most of the violence you read about is in the streets, but we know there's a lot of violence in the homes, a lot of domestic violence, and the parishes should be open to receiving people and then trying to see to it that if they go back to their homes, they're safe. It's a question of seeing yourself as genuinely related to these people, and not just to reduce the incidence of violence, of course, but to take care of people who are victims of violence. It's the people who count.
So you're calling the parishes to be real sacraments of Christ's peace in a very concrete way, by offering these safe havens.
That's a nice way to say it. Thank you.
I want to thank in a very special way Graziano Marcheschi and Cardinal Francis George, a segment from Grazia Marcheschi's television program, The Church, the Cardinal, and You. It's our cable TV program. You are listening to Catholic Community Faith and Relevant Radio, 950 AM. Grazia, out of curiosity, how many years have you been doing the cable TV program, The Church, the Cardinal, and You? How long?
Seven, eight years.
Okay. How about sports for 100? Okay. And I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Grazia Marcheschi and our guest, 2003, according to producer Jim Dish. And our phone number, 255-8408, 312 area code, 255-8408. Our guest, Father Scott Donahue and Tom Gallardi from Mercy Home for Boys and Girls. We'll be back right after a break. And again, do not touch that dial.
Hey, Father Cusick.
Hey, Dr. Kate DeVries.
Do you think all of our listeners have heard about Theology on Tap's 30th anniversary celebrations?
Let's tell them. Theology on Tap is a summer speaker and discussion series aimed at people in their 20s and 30s, married and single. It's been serving the finest of theology speakers in conversation for 30 years.
That's a lot to celebrate. This year we begin July 11th and go until August 6th with some wonderful speakers and topics.
And then on Sunday, August 8th, Cardinal George is celebrating Mass at 3 p.m. at Holy Name Cathedral for everyone who has ever been a part of the program.
After Mass, the Cardinal invites us all back to his residence for a picnic. What a fun way to spend Sunday in the city.
And additional events are also being planned for the 30th anniversary.
On July 23rd, Father Cusick is leading a talk, Why Should I Go to Church? It's a key question. It's open to all past and present Theology on Tap participants and their children.
Details about additional special events can be found on our website, yamchicago.org, and you can purchase tickets for the August 8th picnic there as well.
Come celebrate 30 years of Theology on Tap with us. Again, details are at yamchicago.org.
Let's keep tapping, and God bless.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Are you Mawusi? Mawusi means in the hands of God, in Ewe, a language of the Ghanaian people.
The Office of Catechesis and Youth Ministry sponsors the annual Mawusi Retreat, celebrating Black Catholic spirituality. This year's retreat focuses on fueling our faith as we reclaim our faithful.
We will examine the fire of evangelization as it pertains to Black Catholic spirituality. Experience robust talks, prayer sessions, Eucharistic adoration, reflective time, and a forum focusing on vocations.
The retreat is designed for adults discerning ministry and lay and religious ministers who serve the Black Catholic community.
Join us at Mawusi Friday, July 30th to Sunday, August 1st at Techne Towers in Techne, Illinois. For additional information, call 312-534-8046 or visit our website, www.catechesis-chicago.org.
That's 312-534-8046 or www.catechesis-chicago.org. Are you Mawusi?
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And thank you for staying with us on Relevant Radio AM 950. This is the voice of the Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago. And it's a hot time. It's summer in the city, so I hope you're cool out there. We are heating things up in here by hearing such good news about the work at Mercy Boys and Girls, Mercy Home for Boys and Girls.
You're filled with great analogies today, Gratz. Wow, you must be in a good mood. Great questions, great analogies, yeah, images. You, wow.
The Holy Spirit works.
Got a pay raise or something? When you're
I have learned in my life the truth of St. Paul saying, in my weakness is God's strength. Yeah. Sometimes when I'm at my worst is when God takes over, you know.
It's very true.
It's a gift. Nice. It's a gift. As I get older, that's nice. Going to become more and more valuable when I start losing all my other faculties. It's like, okay, God, now your strength can really show. We heard Greg quoted Cardinal George's letter, and then we listened to his interview where he pointed out that the violence that so often touches the lives of people isn't just what we hear in the headlines and see on the news, what happens in the streets, but so often it happens within the place that's supposed to be the safest place, a person's own home. You deal with that on a daily basis. By the way, one of the things I'm really struck with is how competent, that's not a good word, you guys are really good. You're really good. I would think,
Thank you.
Competent and compassionate.
And compassionate. If I knew a child who needed this kind of help, you're the place I'd send them to because you know what you're doing. You know what you're doing. You've covered all the bases. So God bless you for that. We'll talk more about that later. But what I'd like to ask you about now is give us a sense. You know, you're dealing with these real people who are coming from very real and sometimes brutal situations. Give us a story that puts us in touch with some of those lives.
Gratz, first of all, let me say thank you for those kind words. I think the home is very competent at what we do. And we're blessed to be able to participate in this ministry. It's really a grace. It's a privilege every day. I say to Tom and to all my coworkers at the home, the two things about Mercy Home that I love about this ministry is the people that I work with, my coworkers. They're so good and compassionate and competent. And what a wonderful ministry it is to involve our lives in the lives of children at risk. We're blessed. But you ask about a story. I just had one of these just great moments in my life as a priest, most recently in the last month. We had a young woman who came to us, and let me give you the life circumstances. At the age of 10, her father tried to sell her to a cab driver here in Chicago. Sell her. She got out of that situation. The mother and father divorced. The mother gets a boyfriend, moves in with the mother. 2 years later, the mother throws the boyfriend out of the house, and the boyfriend takes this young woman with him. Locks this young woman in his apartment for 2 years. She's never out of the apartment. She is tortured. She is strangled. She is sexually abused. And she finally escapes through a window, comes to Mercy Home. Now listen
and
to that
now
trauma.
12 years old?
Now she's 14.
Wow.
Comes to Mercy Home with all this trauma in her life. So she goes through our admission. She goes through intensive therapeutic help. We get her in the right school. She graduates from high school. She graduates from Roosevelt University. She goes on and gets her MBA from the University of Chicago. All with our support, all with our help, all with a caring community of Mercy Home with her in her life. She gets a wonderful job in New York City about a year and a half ago. She's dating a wonderful guy, Corey, and I've met Corey. She calls me about a month ago and she said, Father, she said, I have a question for you. So I think she's going to ask me to celebrate their wedding. She said, I'm not going to ask you to celebrate my wedding. She said, I have a more important role for you from her perspective. She said, will you walk me down the aisle? Wow. She said, I've never had a father in my life, you know. Will you be my father? That's the kind of story that replicates itself at the home over and again. I hope I can walk her down the aisle and marry her at the same time. Wow. We'll figure that. But those are the stories, truly. Tom, I think of Tony.
You know, let me just interrupt, Scott, before we get into the Tony story, is when this young lady escaped out the window and made her way to Mercy Home, Mercy Home literally saved her life.
And she says that. She said, you saved my life. She says that publicly all the time. Wow. And now she's involved through our alumni. She's on our junior board. But she has no qualms saying, you saved my life. If Mercy Home weren't here, I don't know where I'd be today.
That's incredible. Now, Tom, you have a Tony story?
Sure, I could tell another story. Tony grew up in the north side of Chicago, and his father wasn't in the household. His mother was a police officer, and one day Tony was the oldest, I think, of three kids in that family, and he came home to find his mother beaten to death.
Wow!
And it was devastating, of course. And there he was trying, and he didn't know if the killer was still in the house.
Yeah. Boyfriend's mother.
Protecting. He's then ushering, having to be the protector of his younger siblings and lives with this trauma for his whole life. He's a young child when this happens. And goes on to relatives' home, right, to another safe haven, supposedly, and ends up being beaten there and rejected there.
Daily
beaten.
Yep.
He comes to Mercy, where, you know, and I think the key thing about Mercy is a blend, a balance between unconditional love and support over and over with really clear limits and structure. And I think that's our challenge every day, is to try to create this balance, this mix where kids know that they are loved and cared for, but that, you know what, there's going to be limits and structure in your lives.
Yep.
And that's what we try to create. So in this case, our young man, he just finished his freshman year in college. He did really well. He's working a great job this summer, and he's healing.
You know, I need to ask the both of you this question, and that is, you know, Father Scott and Tom, you have shared two horrific stories. I mean, things we think do not exist or exist somewhere else. And you've just given two stories about a young woman, a young boy, when they were younger, how they arrived at Mercy Home for Boys and Girls. The other side of the coin is, you know, Scott, with you and Tom there daily along with the other coworkers, when you hear stories like this, how do these stories affect your life? I mean, as a pastor in the Archdiocese, I was at St. Mary of the Woods for 18 years and now at St. Mary's in Evanston. You know, there is a blend of hearing some tough stories, but also the joys of weddings and baptisms and going to the grammar school and graduations. And I realize that Mercy Home also has its, you know, high points. But how do you deal with some of these stories and keep it together yourself?
That's a great question. It's a sensitive question, too, Greg. I appreciate that. Truthfully, you know, as it goes back to what the Cardinal said, I pray. I mean, obviously, but I do pray. I pray every day for the children of the world community, of this community of Chicago, but in a particular way for the children at Mercy Home that are entrusted to our care. Prayer in that conversation with the Lord is terribly important. The other side of that is, again, I don't want to sound Pollyannish, but it's the people I work with. So we do talk a lot to one another, and we support each other in this wonderful ministry as I see it. And I think that's therapeutic for ourselves, because we do have to talk about that and how we experience the experience of the children who are coming to us. Some of the stories are absolutely horrific, as you've heard, and they replicate themselves over and again, unfortunately.
Do the kids tell each other their life stories?
I think at times they do. I think, you know, it takes time. The healing process. And one of the things the father didn't mention that he does a lot is a tremendous sense of gratitude that's constantly sort of reinforced at Mercy. As our leader, he will remind us of that, of the sense of gratitude. And even in the most horrific situation, there's a hopefulness in there. There's something that can be built upon. Kids do tell their stories. We have all kinds of therapeutic opportunities for these kids. They do group therapy. They have individual therapy. But even more than that, in all the different activities that they're given opportunity to be a part of, we always design them with the idea that this is more than just taking a music lesson. We need to design it in a way that we can address the therapeutic piece of it.
Yeah. But you know what you said earlier when you talked about the academy, I think is one of those things that just really struck me at how good what you do is. That you send these kids to 52 different schools, I think one of the messages that gives them is you're unique.
Yep, absolutely.
You're not a broken kid. You know, this is not a group of broken kids. This is a group of individuals who have unique stories, you know, and they may not be such great stories, but there's hope for each of you. And this is the school that's going to work for you, and this is the one that's going to work for you. And we're here to meet your needs, not to, you know, put you in some kind of cookie cutter.
Thank you for saying that. Right. It is so true. So we do a very thorough assessment of a young person's educational ability when they come in. Usually they're 2 years behind. But if they have the capacity to go to Ignatius, they go to Ignatius, or St. Greg's, or St. Ben's, or Mother Macaulay on the south side, or St. Lawrence. But we want to place these children in an academic environment where they'll experience success because it builds self-esteem.
You know, before we go to a break here on Catholic Community Faith and Relevant Radio, 950 AM, a couple of years ago I was doing the Mercy Home TV Mass, and we're doing the taping, and I was talking to one of the young men who was one of the servers, just on the side. I said, what does Mercy Home mean to you? This little boy, maybe about 13 or 14, looking, he said, this is my family.
Ah, nice.
This is my family. I'll never forget that. He looked at me straight in the eye, no hesitation. I said, what does Mercy Home for Boys and Girls mean to you? This is my family. I always remember that. And I've never shared that with you, Father Scott, or Tom, or anybody there, first time on radio, but that I will never forget. We're going to go to a break here on Relevant Radio 950 Catholic Community Faith. I'm Father Greg Sabas, along with Graziano Marcheschi, and our guest today, Father Scott Donahue, Tom Gallardi for Mercy Home for Boys and Girls. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
Whether you're a high school teen, parent, teacher, or catechist, the Chastity Education Initiative of the Archdiocese of Chicago has something to offer you this summer. On July 19th and 20th, the initiative will host its first annual Justice and Life Youth Leadership Summit for high school teens. Join other teens to learn from pro-life leaders on how to be an effective advocate of pro-life issues at your school or parish. With activities, praise and worship, mass, and much more, this will be an experience not to miss. If you're a teacher, a parent, or a catechist, you won't want to miss out on a training for the wildly popular Theology of the Body for Teens curriculum on August 13th, perfect for 8th grade through high school students. Contact the Respect Life office for more information about this teacher training or the Youth Leadership Summit at 312-534-5355 or go to www.respectlifechicago.org. That's 312-534-5355. Or www.respectlifechicago.org.
Hello, I'm Lisa Pilato, the Catholic Charities Junior Board Manager, and this is the Junior Board Mission Minute. 60 seconds of the latest and greatest updates on events and opportunities for you to get involved. Want to learn more about the Junior Board? Come to our general meeting on July 29th at 6 p.m. at 721 North LaSalle to learn the ropes and get involved. All are welcome. Save the date for these fun Junior Board events this summer. July 31st is our Faith Committee scavenger hunt. Search out some of the pillars of our Catholic faith in Chicago and end with a social fundraiser at Bull and Bear. Raise money for our Loving Outreach to Survivors of Suicide program at the 6th annual Cubs outing on August 21st. Tickets are $50 and on sale now on our website. Cruise with us for a good cause on the 8th annual boat cruise on the Innisfree. Music, food, and open bar on August 27th from 7 to 10 p.m. for $65 a ticket. These events are open to all Junior Board members and friends. There's always a way to help your neighbor at Catholic Charities. Consider joining our Junior Board. For more information on these events and others, call 312-655-7932 or visit catholiccharities.net. And of course, stay tuned for the next Junior Board Mission Minute.
.9 in Chicago. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith, and we've been talking about Mercy Home for Girls and Boys with Father Scott Donahue and Tom Gallardi. anyone who's been listening for, you know, any segment of the past 45 minutes should have been impressed by the quality of work that you're doing, the number of lives that you're touching, the difference that you make. Obviously, that kind of stuff doesn't come cheaply. As we mentioned earlier, you very much individualize the programs. You bus kids to 52 different schools. You know, some of them take public trans. How do you do it? Who gives you the money? Where's this come from, all this amazing generosity?
Thanks, Gratz, for asking that question. So the truth of the matter is it's an expensive proposition, caring for these young people who are entrusted to us. 99.7% of our funding is privately funding. So we raise that money. And the reason we do that, we stay away from state and government money purposely. When you start taking state and federal money, then government tells you how to run program. We've been doing this for 123 years. We have good successes. We have 100% graduation rate. I didn't mention that. 100% graduation rate. That's CPS phenomenal. Is 52%.
Wow.
From high school. 100%. So we know how to do it, but it's expensive. So we
and
we fundraise.
They can't use the excuse that, well, you're getting the cream of the crop. You're dealing with a lot of very troubled kids. You have 100% graduation rate. Amazing.
Absolutely. And so we depend on the people who respond to our calls for generosity to support these kids. If people want to know more how they can give to Mercy Home, please contact us. On the line, it's mercyhome.org. mercyhome.org, and you can see how you can make a donation to the home, or just call us at our toll-free number, 888-571-3700.
That number once again, Scott.
Is 888-571-3700. Anything. The support is terribly, the financial support, as well as we're always looking for tutors and mentors, and maybe Tom can say a word
now,
about that.
Before we do that, Tom, we're going to get into that. But again, as Father Scott mentioned, that 99.7% is personally raised for the funding
of our programs.
Of all the programs. That means there's these high school tuitions, the counseling, it goes on and on. But we're going to go to the phones right now. We have Betty from Burr Ridge. Welcome to Catholic Community Faith. Good morning, Betty. How are you?
Hi. Hi, Father Scott. This is Betty. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks, Betty. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, good. I was listening to you. I couldn't believe that you were on that Relevant Radio. How cool.
Is this the Father Scott Donahue fan club? Okay, the fifth
my one is, member. Thanks, Betty.
Be a fifth caller and get a free picture of Father Scott's first Holy Communion. Betty, your question or comment?
Yeah, I have been donating to Mercy Homes for many, many years. I have been involved with them. I've been helping out with their St. Patrick's Day celebration at the Hilton. I have been to Mercy Homes on a number of times, and it is absolutely the most incredibly run facility I have ever been in. And I know a number of the people that volunteer and that work over there, too. My daughter-in-law has tutored over there, too. And I am just so thrilled to be just a part of the whole Mercy Home experience, because Father Scott, you and all of the people there are just phenomenal. So dedicated to, your whole, all of your work over there. And I thank you so much for doing what you do.
I thank you for your kind words and for your generosity, Betty. Thank you.
Betty, thank you very much for calling Catholic Community Faith and giving us that really that eyewitness testimony. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. Betty had a very important word, tutoring. Tom, just share with us the possibilities for people to get involved in the mentoring program, the volunteer program. I think it's such an important component and almost like a best kept secret about Mercy Home. Share us about that.
Great. There's two primary ways folks can come and help us out with the kids. The first one is if time commitment, if you can't make a significant time commitment, we have a tutoring program. Come for an hour a week, 2 hours a week during the school year. You can come to either the boys' campus or the girls' campus. It's a great way for you to share your gifts with the young person. We're especially looking for math. People are very good at math. The second way is The second way is mentoring. We have a program that serves children 9 to 17. Father mentioned that earlier. These are kids that live in the community. These are kids that typically come from single-parent households, and they need more support. We have a waiting list of kids from the entire Chicago area who need your support. It's a 3 to 4 hour commitment.
Per week?
It's about 3 or 4 hours, three times a month. So,
got it, okay.
Right.
Right.
1 year commitment. You don't need to have anything special. Just bring yourself, your best self. It's a
now,
very
Tom,
special
to
program.
To be part of this program, if someone were interested right now, listening at home, driving, give us a phone number where they could call you directly or to call whom?
Okay, you can call us here at Mercy Home at 888-571-3700.
The number once again, let's keep getting the number out.
888-571-3700 or go to our website at www.mercyhome.org. Follow the links for volunteering or tutoring. We'd love to have you. We have folks like Jen Brown who can get you oriented into that program, one of those two programs. It's good stuff.
Tell us
it's
about the stuff. Challenge program, the challenge grant.
Greg, I could hug you. So we're really fortunate right now. We have a donor who's a very generous man, and he said up until August 31st, if folks step forward and make a donation to the home, he will match their donation up to the sum of $52,000.
Wow.
So if we can get folks to step up and to make a donation by either going onto our website at mercyhome.org or by calling us at 888-571-3700, we can actually double that $52,000 challenge grant to $104,000, which would be a terrific help.
Tell us why it's 52 and not 50.
Well, this guy is, he's a pretty quiet guy, but he's running a marathon. He's running like his 20th marathon. And he's raising.
Kind of like me, Greg.
Yeah.
But you look great, Greg. I forgot to tell you that.
He is personally committed to raising for himself $2,000 for every mile that he runs. So that gets you to the $52,000 that he's willing to put in. And then he said, and if you have donors who will come, friends of the home will come and step up, we can double it to $104,000.
That's just
amazing. Yeah, it really is amazing.
That's
he's
phenomenal.
A great man.
Wow, I jocked a Dairy Queen.
Now, when you talked about the mentoring program before, so an individual is paired up with one particular child, right? And then you develop a long-term relationship with that child? So could this be a multi-year relationship?
It can be. It has been. What we do is we provide a lot of support, a lot of orientation and training. And throughout that relationship, we're always there as part of that process. And in some cases, these become lifelong friendships.
Yeah. Give us a sense of some of the activities that a person can do as a mentor.
You know, Gratz, it's another great question. We're not looking for mentors to come, and it's really about time and relationship. It's not about spending money. It's not that. It's going to the zoo. It's about having a good conversation. It's about walking along the lakefront. It's about perhaps going to a ball game. And we get tickets donated. We can help on that end of it. But it's really about the conversation and about the relationship and about good mentoring. It's really not about the money. And so, therefore, competent mentors who we train, who we screen, who step forward and we give support to, just about any adult can do it.
That is
a great city we live in. I mean, there's so many free activities to take advantage of around the city. So
we need to bring today's program to a close. I want to thank in a very special way Father Scott Donahue, the president and CEO of Mercy Home for Boys and Girls, for being with us. And also in studio, Mr. Tom Gallardi, the vice president of youth programs for Mercy Home. Scott and Tom, it's obvious, you along with your entire staff, the care, the compassion, being the face of Christ, the hands of Christ to young people who without Mercy Home for Boys and Girls would not have a place of a safe haven, a place of hope. So thank you. Special thank you to co-host Graziano Marcheschi for another excellent program with you, Graz. It's always great to be with you here on Catholic Community of Faith. And have a great weekend. And to our...
And good luck with all your preaching this weekend.
Yes, and to our producer slash engineer today, great job, Mr. Jim Dish, who always does a terrific job. And to all our listeners, God bless all of you. Have a wonderful weekend, and stay cool.
God bless. Thank you.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.